good, Dr. Stan, if there's other information that would help us understand who you are and kind of how you got started in this, how you came around to doing this work that you're doing now, that you've been doing for quite some time, if you would.
Well, I started back in 1962, and I certainly began studying what was going on at that time. I joined a number of conservative organizations, but certainly by the early 1970s, I was fairly disillusioned that nothing was happening. I eventually took off, went to live in South Africa, was there for 3 years, but I came back to the United States and got involved in the movement ever since then. It really wasn't until the early 1980s when I realized that I was missing something. I mean, how could we be working so hard and have everything, you know, on our side? We were in favor of the Constitution and freedom, and yet we were losing the battle. And then, of course, I ran into a woman named Constance Cumby and read her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and that opened a whole different perspective because I began to understand the spiritual aspects of what was going on, and there really are really thousands, tens of thousands of organizations here in the United States and throughout the world that worship a different God. And, I mean, that sounds so foreign to the average individual, but really, if you've studied Gnosticism or the secret societies or the mystery religions, and, of course, you go into the background of the Kabbalah and Gnosticism and the Greek philosophers and the Templars and the Rosicrucians and the Illuminists and the modern-day Masonry and so many of the other organizations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome in Europe, it all begins to fit into place, and you begin to understand what's going on. So after we had one of the doctors around in the California Medical Association, the House of Delegates, to my position, and yet I realized that they were going to allow the AIDS epidemic to continue and to kill millions of people unnecessarily, which it has, I decided the only way to have an effect was to begin doing talk radio. And so in 1993, December of 93, we started doing talk radio, and today we're heard on over 60 radio outlets every week. And we at least reach a small number of people with the truth. And after they finish thinking we're probably crazy, they begin to realize that we're not, and hopefully then they begin to tell others. And so there is at least a small cadre of people in America who understand the spiritual nature behind the forces that want to destroy freedom. And as I say, we do 5 hours of talk radio every day. You can hear us at radioliberty.com. That's the easiest way. radioliberty.com, although we're on shortwave 3 hours a day, satellite 9 hours a day. You can get our programs at radioliberty.com on blog and MP3 archived, and certainly we hope that people will listen. They'll get educated and then join us in this this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived in liberty can long survive.
That's really admirable, what your commitment and what you're doing. I noticed that in many times I will see the schedule of different types of conferences, and I mean all across the board, all types. You'll be a featured speaker, and I know that you do a lot of tireless travel and going all kinds of places to bring the word out to people and wake them up to what's going on. I know you mentioned...
Let me put in a plug in for the UROC conference this Saturday in Arcadia in Southern California. Of course, I realize most of your listeners are in Oklahoma, but I'm sure you must have listeners all across the country. And I will be speaking at the UROC convention, UROC convention in Arcadia this Saturday. And certainly a number of the people who are regular guests on my radio program, Will Grigg and Joel Skousen, will be there as well. So if anybody knows someone living in that area, they want to come, they can go to our website or get our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, and find out about it. But we are getting a little old. We try to limit our travels now, but we still, from time to time, will go on trips and try to educate people.
Well, that's really good. I know that you have quite a bit of research that you've done and understanding on several levels, including a medical level, of the whole AIDS situation as well as vaccines. And we're seeing that now with this hysteria around the swine flu and the H1N1, all of that type of thing. Could you maybe share a little bit with us on that and bring us to some more enlightened view on what's going on with that?
Well, there is a major agenda, and that's population control. It's eugenics. It's the same agenda that that Malthus advocated in the latter part of the 18th century, and that Galton advocated in the following century, and that Margaret Sanger and Adolf Hitler advocated in the 20th century, and that is being implemented today. And there really is a plan to destroy the health and the lives of the vast majority of the American population. And anybody can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and see at least one of my talks on that called Nundare Called a Genocide. But if we look at the H1N1 epidemic, it is the most flagrant example of an unnecessary disease. First of all, it's a very, very mild disease. There's a massive propaganda effort to get people vaccinated, especially infants and small children and certainly pregnant women. And those are the last people you want to give the vaccine to. Why? Well, first of all, because from the age of 6 months to 2 years of age, the immune system doesn't work, and the vaccine will do absolutely no good, and they know that, but it will do a great deal of harm because the brain is developing at that time, and they want to give 3 shots or 4 shots of a mercury-laden vaccine to children starting at 6 months of age to destroy their minds. We know that today in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control, at least 1 in every 6 children has a neurodevelopmental or autism spectrum disorder. I'm talking about learning disorder, speaking disorder, reading disorder, ADD, ADHD, Asperger's disease. 1 in every 6 children. 1 in every 9 children has asthma, 1 in every 60 to 70 boys, 1 in 90 to 100 children has autism of one sort or another. Their lives are destroyed forever. 1 in 450 children has type 1 diabetes. You do not see these diseases in children who do not take the vaccines. So they've set out to destroy their lives. But people say, well, nobody would that be that evil, and I would like to suggest, yes, they would be that evil. In fact, how do you explain what happened in Germany during the Holocaust? How do you explain the brutality of war? There are evil people. Unfortunately, many of them work at the highest levels. The American government today, at the NIH, at the CDC, at the FDA, and certainly the U.S. Public Health Service, because if you want to do maximum damage and you're a doctor, you don't get a job in Podunk, in South Dakota. You go to work for the government where your policies can do the maximum damage to health. Now, there are good people who work in those organizations, but they're silenced. Certainly, we have, if you want to know how they're poisoning our people, you can go to the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's www.nteu280.org. That's nteu280.org, where the scientists who work for the EPA will tell you they're poisoning us with water fluoridation. This is just one of the many reasons or many means that they're poisoning the American people. But The average individual will never hear of this. The media is controlled, so the average individual doesn't know. The FDA is releasing drugs all the time that are designed to damage the health of the American people. And you can go to my website, and there's an article there. It's in 2005 on population control. It's Dr. David Graham's testimony before the U.S. Senate on Vioxx, and he tells you that they've released all sorts of drugs that are killing people, and they knowingly are doing it. I mean, certainly you can read the Bressler report at doorway.com, that's DORWAY.com. It's the Bressler report was suppressed by the FDA. It's on aspartame. They're poisoning our children with aspartame. It's in the gum they chew. It's in the jam that they put on their sandwiches. And, of course, it produces all sorts of problems and metal problems and cancers and all of the things do. And they're poisoning our children. They're promoting cancer. They're suppressing effective cancer treatments. And the average individual can't understand that. So let's get back to the H1N1 swine flu. Number one. Where did it come from? I mean, this is a very unusual virus. It consists of a North American bird and swine or pig virus, a human virus, and an Asian swine virus. And, of course, if you read the material on the Internet by Wayne Mattson, and if you don't have access to the Internet, I have an interview with him. It's in our four CD set on the swine flu. Wayne Mattson is an investigative reporter who's been contacted by scientists who are frankly afraid to come forward themselves and tell the truth, and that is that this is a man-made virus. It's an entirely new virus. It has never existed in this form before. There may have been similar viruses, but never this one. They have the ability to make new viruses, and they're doing it. We have biological warfare laboratories, and they've certainly, according to Mattson, he's been contacted by a number of scientists who've told him all the same story. This is a man-made virus. But fortunately, the disease is very mild. Now, probably next time around, it'll be a much more lethal disease. But this is fortunately a very mild disease. The epidemic is almost over. In fact, after this year, why this will not come around again for heaven only knows how long, most people will have permanent immunity even if they don't take the vaccine. And have you noticed how in the massive propaganda campaign they keep talking about how we have to be concerned about the children, the children, the children, the lives of the children, and yet they will tell you, 100 children have died? Well, we've got 30 million children in America. And certainly, if you look at the CDC's own statistics, two-thirds of the children have died, have had other serious illnesses. So you probably have perhaps 30 to 35 children in the United States who have died with swine flu who were healthy children. So your chance, if you have a healthy child, of having them die of swine flu is about 1 in 1,000,000. Your chance of, getting hit by a lightning bolt sometime during your life is about 1 in 250,000. So you've got 4 times the chance of getting hit by a lightning bolt that you have of a healthy child dying of swine flu. And yet they keep emphasizing the children, the children, the children. Well, you've got to vaccinate the children. Ladies and gentlemen, most of the children have already had the disease and are immune to it. Then why do they want to vaccinate them? Why? Because the mercury in the vaccine and the formaldehyde in the vaccine and the detergent in the vaccine and the egg yolk in the vaccine and the egg can actually sensitize them for the rest of their lives to egg and egg products. The vaccine can turn on their immune system and produce an autoimmune disease. They can target their the islands of Langerhans in the pancreas and give them juvenile diabetes and destroy their lives, or give them allergies or hay fever or intestinal allergies this myriad of other mental and brain diseases we've talked about. They know what they're doing. They just want the American people to know, and you're never going to hear this sort of thing. And the doctors don't know. I debated a doctor recently who said, "Why, you know, there's no mercury in this vaccine. They've taken the mercury out of childhood vaccines." And I said, "They took the mercury out of vaccines, childhood vaccines, and then they mandated the use of vaccines that contain mercury for children." It's all a word game. It's a bait-and-switch operation, and the average doctor has no idea. They're not bad people. They're good people. They would not no more think of hurting a child, but there are people in the upper echelons who know exactly what they're doing. They will tell you these vaccines are perfectly safe. There are no reactions to them. Well, I happen to have read the brochures that are put out by the drug companies. And if you read the MedImmune company, they're the ones that make the flu mist for H1N1 vaccine. If you read their brochure, they will tell you of the children they tried this on experimentally. 4% of the children between ages 6 months and 2 years of age had to be hospitalized. 4% had to be hospitalized. 4 to 5% had to have bronchodilator treatments because of the wheezing they experienced. But fortunately, they're only going to start giving it at 2 years of age, from 2 years of age up. But in between ages 2 and 4, why, of course, 2.1% of the children required hospitalization. We're talking 2.1% of the children who got this required hospitalization in MedImmune study, and yet the chance of dying of this disease is less than 1 in 1,000,000. Come on now, what's wrong with this story? They tell you we've got to give it to pregnant women because they're so vulnerable. And yet, I mean, how many doctors have read the brochures that come with the product? I've read them for 4 vaccine manufacturers who are manufacturers of the H1N1 vaccines, and every one of them says the same thing. There are no animal studies that show that this vaccine will not harm the fetus. There are no studies that show it won't harm the fetus. Well, what they don't tell you is there are a lot of studies that show that these vaccine shots do harm a pregnant woman, and they should never be given. Vaccines should never be given to a pregnant woman, and yet they're doing it to every pregnant woman who's foolish enough to believe her doctor, who's foolish enough to believe her obstetrician. And the obstetricians and doctors are foolish because they believe the government, and they've never read the inserts, vaccine inserts, or the inserts in the product, vaccine product. So, I mean, the danger is not from the H1N1 vaccine. Most people will have the disease. They won't even know they've had it. They did a study in Australia. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 10th of September, and you can pull this down on the Internet. And that was the MF59 vaccine study. And what they did is they got a couple hundred people together, and they were going to give them the MF. Now, this is a vaccine that's given in Europe. It's a fluoridated one. But after they'd started the study, because they were doing it as rapidly as possible, they tested the blood of the people that they gave the vaccine to. They had specimens were drawn before they started the study. Do you know what they found? There were two groups. In one group, 15% already had the disease and was immune to it. In the other group, 39% had antibodies to the disease and were immune to it. And none of them had any symptoms suggesting they had the flu. So this is so mild that in one group, 39% had the flu and didn't even know it. And most people in America have had the flu. The epidemic's almost over. The World Health Organization and the CDC have told the states to stop testing whether these are H1N1 cases and just call everyone, every case of flu or cold or anything of that sort, H1N1. They're simply lying. Dr. Russell Blaylock contacted a number of states. CBS did the same thing. And what did they find? Why, only about 25% of the current cases that they test are actually H1N1. And yet the government is lying to the people, and the people, unfortunately, are believing the lie.
Well, don't you see also that just of recent, say maybe the last year, year and a half or so, that people are waking up at a faster rate than in the past?
I think that's what's so exciting, yes. And I actually probably 60 to 70% of the doctors and healthcare personnel are not going to take the vaccine. And we know certainly that basically probably well over 50% of the people are not going to take the vaccine because they don't trust the government. Yes, there is a great awakening, but people don't see how it fits together. They don't understand the population control agenda, and that's why what you do in there at Republic Magazine is so important. Getting the truth out to the people, raising the question, and of course, hopefully many people will go to my website at radioliberty.com because we have the information there that will help to explain everything going on. And fortunately, we have really smart people that come on my program, and I learn from them, and I hope my listeners do too, as we evaluate every part of what's going on today. But you're right. People are beginning to wake up.
Yeah, I wish it was faster. And it's like you said, they're getting bits and pieces, and hopefully they're going to be able to continue to extrapolate until they put the tapestry together and figure out what's really going on in the big picture.
Hey, say, could I have about 3 minutes here? Could you carry the program? I'll be right back, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody that we've been listening to Dr. Stan Monteith. He's internationally known, and he's quite a researcher, speaker, author, so many things. He's given, so much to this truth movement, whatever we want to call it, but I sometimes call it the truth movement. And if you do have a question for Dr. Stan, he's going to be back in just a moment. What you want to do is, if you're on the phone bridge line, if you're listening via phone, hit *2 on your phone keypad, and that'll let us know that you want your line unmuted so that you can talk with Dr. Stan. If you have tuned in online, if you're listening via the internet at republicmagazine.com/webinar, you can just type your question in the question box, put your name and city there, and then hit submit, and we'll see that question. And I do, in fact, I even have one that as soon as he comes back, I'm going to ask him that question. It ties right in with what we were talking about. And this recording, of course, this webinar is being recorded. It'll be posted immediately afterwards, and you can go and find it also at republicmagazine.com/webinar. And that way you can listen to access that one or any of the past ones that we've done. And as Dr. Stan said, we continue to educate. We continue to bring the controversial information forward. We'll probably only become more radical and more controversial as time goes on in bringing up more and more of the truth.
Earl, I'm back again, so if you have anything you'd like me to cover, just tell me what it is.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I do. I just mentioned to the folks that we have a question that came in via the internet, and it's from Peter, looks like Peter Hebert, Germantown. Word on the rumor mill, the internet, is that H1N1 was designed to target mestizos, Latin Americans, and that the beneficiaries are the firms in the healthcare industry. What is nonsense rumor and what is fact? I've seen video clips on network television news shows that 1 out of 1 million will permanently suffer from a nervous disorder as a result of the H1N1 virus. What I saw was too hard to believe. Again, what is truth? What is nonsense? Dr. Stan.
Well, I mean, I think that a few people will probably die of this disease. And the reason that they'll die is because they are misdiagnosed or mistreated. And certainly one of the big problems is that a lot of the times when people start coming down with an illness, why they'll just ply them with all sorts of aspirin to get their temperature down. Well, of course, in a small child, this can actually precipitate something called Reye's disease, R-E-Y-E-S disease, and this can be a fatal disease for any child with any disease. And so you don't want to try to bring the temperature down. God created the temperature to help us fight disease. Unless you get up to 104, 105 disease, do not take aspirin or Advil or something of that sort. But then, of course, if the people have a predisposed to illness, maybe they've had chemotherapy, maybe they have a suppressed immune system and they contract the disease, they can get into problems, there's no question. But, I mean, very, very few people are going to get very ill or have to be hospitalized. And look at the CDC's own statistics. They say, oh, 20,000 people have been hospitalized. We have over 5,000 hospitals in the United States. That's less than 4 people per hospital have been hospitalized. Oh, they're all going to the intensive care unit. That's simply a lie. It's all propaganda. They're trying to scare us to death. Will some people have a permanent residual from the disease? Probably very, very few, but there will be a few who will have an aberrant response to this very mild virus. But the vaccine, if you read the brochures on the vaccine, every one of them talks about the possibility of Guillain-Barré disease, which is a progressive paralysis. We know that there were at least, at least 500 cases of serious paralysis associated with the influenza vaccination program for the non-existent problem in 1976, where one person died of the disease, and probably, according to Mike Wallace, 300 people died of the vaccination, at least 500 got Guillain-Barré disease. We don't know, because the government's lying. Today they say only 35 people died from the vaccinations. But if you go to NVIC.org, that's National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, and scroll down on their lead page, why, they have a 60-minute program that came out in about 1978 or 1979 with Mike Wallace. And he will tell you that, and they interview people who were survivors of the Guillain-Barré disease and still were paralyzed and had their lives ruined by the vaccination, not by the disease, but by the vaccine. And Mike Wallace said on several occasions, 300 people died. However, since the other side controls the media, they've knocked the number down, I think, to 25 now. But apparently there were something like 4,000 lawsuits against the government for that fiasco. I wonder how many people are going to die unnecessarily this time around. Under many circumstances, the real problem with the vaccines is they prime your immune system. And you turn the immune system on, you trick it into turning on artificially, and then it doesn't turn off in many instances. You develop, of course, progressive neural autoimmune disease, and that can lead to multiple sclerosis. It can lead to anterior lateral sclerosis. It can lead to Parkinson's disease. It can lead to dementia. It can lead to a myriad of arthritic conditions and colon conditions and thyroid conditions. They're all autoimmune diseases created by the vaccination process. We weren't made, God didn't make us to turn on our immune system artificially. We have a wonderful immune system, but when you trick it, when you first give them all sorts of stimulants to make the immune system overreact, sometimes it doesn't turn off, and that's the big problem. And we have a new talk we've given, and we'll have a CD of that available through my ministry, and we'll have the DVD available here, probably in another month, where we go into the background of immunology and how we turn on our artificially the immune system, but we don't turn it on normally. It doesn't turn off, and then it is the autoimmune diseases that give you the permanent disability. And basically, we have literally tens of millions of people in America today who are victims of this disease. We have over probably 650,000 children in America with autism. We didn't see this before we started the mass vaccine programs. We have over 300,000 children with juvenile arthritis. We didn't see this before this. We have over one in every 450 children has type 1 diabetes. It used to be one in every 1,700 children. One in every 7,100 children. It's increased, you know, certainly 17 or 18 times. All of these are directly related to the vaccine programs. And they're never going to tell the American people the truth. So we're going to have to educate them and let them understand that they're destroying the lives of our children.
Well, it's quite an undertaking. And, with the power centers of the country and of the world being controlled and manipulated by those that would spin everything, it's quite a task. But it seems to be happening on the grassroots level, and that's what it's going to take. I mean, just a mass of people sharing with other people, pointing them in the direction of proving to themselves what's going on.
Well, we're going to have to take America back, you know, block by block, precinct by precinct, you know, city by city, county by county, state by state. That's the only way to do it. And so people should think globally but act locally and start with your neighbors and the people in your church and start getting them educated on this is a very important subject because people's attention is focused on the swine flu and most people know something seriously wrong and we're being lied to. Well, if you could get the information we put out, and you'll certainly want to get my talk. It's available through my ministry. It's called The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Now, it's only available now on CD and audio tape. It'll be, those will be available by the first of next week. The DVD probably be several, probably a month before we have it ready because it's a PowerPoint presentation and production takes some time. But it will give you the information you need to reach others, hopefully to convince them that America is under attack today, but not from without, but from the wicked people working at the highest levels of our government who want to destroy the health of the American children.
Well, it's really interesting that I know sometimes people have a hard time imagining how this could all take place and how they think there's just massive numbers of people involved in a giant conspiracy, and it really only takes a few that are rightly placed. Those people understand they're very shrewd, and if they have no scruples or no integrity about anything, they want to grab power, so they gravitate towards it. So they'll use whatever devious means, whatever it takes to make sure that they and others that are doing their bidding move along with them up the chain of command and take the positions of power and influence, and they've certainly done it over time, and we've seen that shift occur, those of us that have been watching this for decades. What could you maybe go into a little bit more about some of that, how that all works, and this whole thing with what some call the Illuminati, the New World Order, or whatever name you want to give it?
Well, since the dawn of civilization, there have been secret societies, and these secret societies believed there was a mysterious force or power out there you could tap into. And if you actually have ever seen the Great Pyramids there in Giza, just outside of Cairo, or the remains of the Temple Diana, these are two of the only two remaining parts of the seven wonders of the world, but they tell us about the great library at Alexandria, the hanging towers of gardens of Babylon, the Cyclops of Rhodes, and the Temple of Zeus, and all other magnificent archaeological or productions. How were they able to do this? They tapped into the secret knowledge which is there. And that secret knowledge was always passed down in oral form from generation to generation, because there is a secret knowledge that can be used. But I want to caution people, God did not intend us to tap into that knowledge. And you tap into the knowledge, you're going to get into real trouble. In fact, if you read, you know, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, where God tells us to avoid fortune tellers, to avoid mediums, to avoid astrologers and diviners and people who can tap into this other dimension. But people are always fascinated by it. Because, of course, there's wealth you can obtain and fame and power. But I would caution you, avoid it like the plague. Understand it's there. But, of course, people, once they tap into that, why, of course, they endanger the eternal soul. Well, anyway, of course, these secret societies existed in ancient Egypt and Assyria, and certainly they existed in ancient Babylon. And of course, when the Jews were taken to Babylon in captivity, the rabbis came in contact with the teachings, and they were codified in the Kabbalah. But this had nothing to do with the Jewish religion. It had everything to do with the ancient mysteries which were codified in the Kabbalah. These ideas then went to Greece, and they were picked up by Pythagoras at about 550 B.C., and then picked up by Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and even Alexander the Great. And they were all schooled in the mystery religions. How do we know? Well, there's a book you can still get, and today it's still in print. It's called Pythagoras, The Age of Alexander. And in that book, if you index read it, you find that Alexander was furious with Aristotle, who had taught him the mysteries and then written a book about them. And Aristotle didn't want people to understand the mysteries because that was the source of his great military ability. Has anybody ever questioned how it was that Alexander, with 35 or 37,000 Macedonian troops, was able to take on the mighty armies of Darius, you know, with a million people and elephants and archers and horsemen, and Alexander was able to defeat everybody? He had tapped into the mysteries. And simply an example of how you can apply this. Well, of course, you know, after Christ was born, remember, of course, the wise men who came to visit Christ, the so-called Magi, they were part and parcel of this movement because they knew the scriptures and they knew the mysteries and they knew that God's Son would come at a certain time under a certain star. It had all been predicted beforehand. And then after, of course, the establishment of Christianity, we had the Gnostics picked up the secrets of the Magi and, of course, of the Kabbalah. And then, of course, you fast forward to the 12th, 13th century, and you have the Knights Templar, who become the richest sect in Europe because they've tapped into the mysteries. And then, of course, they were exposed for their heresy. And in fact, the reason that Friday the 13th is a bad day because it was on Friday the 13th of October, 1307. When Jacques de Molay, the leader of the Templars, was arrested, and he was subsequently burned at the stake. And then, of course, you have the Rosicrucians coming along in the 1400s, tapping into the mysteries, and, of course, influencing the formation of the British banking system. You have then the Illuminati, or you have the Masons created in England, and I think it was 1717, something like that, and then the Illuminati created in Bavaria in 1776. But all of these forces, these mystery religions and secret societies, were here in America at the time our country was created. Now, this country was predominantly created by Christians who wanted to bring about a better world, where man would be ruled by God and not by government. It was a wonderful dream. But the secret societies and the people involved in the occult were here as well. And they were working behind the scenes, and they actually put their emblem on the back of the Great Seal of the United States. They had to hide it there, and you'll actually see it today on the back of the dollar bill, where it was placed by one of the brethren, his name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a 32nd degree Mason, and his close friend Henry Wallace was a 33rd degree Mason, took this occult emblem, the emblem of the ancient mystery religions, and put it on the back of a dollar bill. And then it's sort of an inside joke. Some years later, they had inscribed on the back of the dollar bill, "In God we trust." But the average individual doesn't understand. They worshipped a different God. And that was, of course, the secret of the Gnostics and the Kabbalah and of all the mystery religions, that there were other gods. And the God of the Bible, the true God, which I believe in, and I hope most of our listeners believe in, is an inferior God to the God who gives total freedom, and that is Lucifer. And there are literally millions of people in the United States today who will talk to you about God, but they don't tell you they're talking about a different God. And the wealthiest people in America today who are directing the course of our what's going on are tapped into this source. In fact, if you look at the great tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, certainly the Carnegie Foundations, they have financed this whole destruction of the Christian foundation of America. Well, Andrew Carnegie was deeply involved in spiritualism and the occult. Henry Ford was deeply involved in spiritualism and the occult, and that's why he was pushing anti-Semitism, why he actually published the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and wrote a book called The International Jew, and that was to focus attention on the Jewish people, to take attention away from the real culprits, who were those who were involved in the occult and worshipped Lucifer. Henry Ford was a close associate of Adolf Hitler. He built a Ford motor plant over there, and Hitler had helped and aided Hitler's rise to power. But he was also a solid supporter of communism, and he built a major Ford motor plant in Gorky and in Russia, and that plant continues turning out trucks today. But people don't understand this. The Rockefeller family has been involved in the occult. The Rothschild family has been involved in the occult. And until you understand this whole drive towards world government and the current drive to destroy the value of our currency is all founded in the occult, until you understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, you can't understand anything going on in the world today. And so I hope our listeners out there will get copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And right now we're offering them at a ridiculously low price because we want people to buy a case of the book at $250 a copy, and they can sell them for $12.95, which is the regular price, or give them away or do whatever they want to. We need people to understand the real force behind what's going on today, which is not communism. It is not that our system of capitalism has failed. We were never a capitalist nation. We were a free society with a free enterprise system. Capitalism is a monopoly system by which evil people can control the economy. They do control the economy today. Many of the wealthiest people in our nation are involved in this worldwide occult movement in population control. They want to destroy our economy. They want to destroy the vast majority of people in the world. They want to plunge us into a great world war. They want to destroy our economy. And, of course, that great world war is coming in the very near future.
Well, it seems that, as you say, it's a spiritual battle. And I've heard a lot of different folks give accountings of satanic rituals being performed by some of the most elite on the planet, doing a lot of things that are pretty horrid when you hear about them. I don't know the truth of that, but it kind of makes sense, because if these people aren't way different from most people that we know, like our friendly neighbors and good people that do good things, to do the stuff they do, they have to have a whole different agenda. They have to be wired totally different from most of the people that they're controlling. And the only thing I can do is call it diabolical. It's got to be.
Right. We carry a book and a four-tape set called Satanic Crimes. The book is based upon the work of a William H. Kennedy, and of course goes into the background of the Bilderbergers, which is founded in the occult and Satanism, and so many Skull and Bones, founded in the occult and Satanism, and so many of the other organizations. The book Satanic Crimes, and then of course. Why, of course, we have a four-tape set by the same, a four-CD set by the same title. I mean, just this last 2 weeks, within the last 2 weeks, they found, arrested some fellow back east who had actually killed 10 women and buried them in his yard. It was just yesterday that they arrested a man who had the rotting bodies of 10 women in his house. And, of course, there was such a terrible odor there. Nobody knew where it was coming from in the neighborhood. And then they finally found the rotting bodies of 10 women rotting in the home. These are minor crimes compared with so much of what's really going on in the world today. As we fight a totally unnecessary war in Iraq that we went into for totally the wrong reasons, because if you go into the background of Saddam Hussein, he was always a CIA agent. And we've got books written 20 years ago that talk about how he was employed by the CIA during the 1950s. We carry a book written by a CIA agent named Robert Baer. It's called See No Evil. He actually was in Iraq all during the 1950s in Kurdistan. And he said he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and many of them believed he was a CIA agent, which I think he was. But maybe they went after him because he thought he was going to run things on his own. I don't know, but I do know that we've killed a million people over in Iraq. There are 1 million widows, 5 million orphans, and suddenly the country is just in shatters. At least with the wicked Saddam Hussein there, they had electricity. At least with Saddam Hussein there, they had regular sewage and water and health facilities. But now the heroic Americans have come there. Everything is broken down. The people are impoverished. You know, they've driven the Christians out of the country. The country at one time, even under the wicked Saddam Hussein, was 10% Christian. And now that the heroic Americans have come, the Christians have been driven out of the country. Our men are over there fighting bravely and courageously, but they're being betrayed by the people here at home. Because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. The statistics I just gave you about 1 million people being killed were actually in an essay that was written by the shoe thrower, not the shoe bomber, but the man who threw his shoes at George Bush, because it was the only way he could strike out at an evil man who had brought horrors to his country. Certainly, the people were glad to get rid of Saddam Hussein, but you know they knew we were keeping him in power, and we kept him in power because everything is operating on a timetable. And you must understand there is a master plan going on behind the scene. If you don't believe it, we actually have publications. There's a little pamphlet that they put out by the Luciferian called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. If you get anything from my ministry, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. You have to read the master plan. It was written by Stephen Rockefeller, the nephew of David Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller. Stephen Rockefeller, deeply involved in the occult, wrote the Earth Charter along with two other people deeply involved in the occult. One was Mikhail Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia. The other, of course, was Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, intimately involved with the Rockefeller family. And the Earth Charter explains to you what's happening economically. Have you ever wondered, Earl, why the United States government owns General Motors today? We own 60% of the stock. The Obama administration told them they had to close down half of the distributorships in America. And, of course, we told General Motors they had to create new jobs, and they are creating new jobs. They're creating new jobs in China. They just opened up a new plant in China. They're creating new jobs in India, and there are going to be lots of employment in those countries. But why are they closing down distributorships and factories in the United States? If our government owns those General Motors, it's because the real purpose, they can't tell the American people, is to transfer our jobs and our wealth and our factories overseas. And all you have to do is read the Earth Charter. It's available on the Internet, or we'll be glad to send your listeners a free copy if they get copies of my book or anything on my webpage. We've got all sorts of things. And if they just ask for it, they get something else, we'll be glad to send to them free of charge. Point 10A of the Earth Charter, written by David Rockefeller's nephew, says, "You know, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations." How do you get equitable distribution of wealth between nations? Why, you transfer the wealth of the American people overseas. And that's what it's all about. That's what's going on. That's why, of course, we gave fiat. We gave fiat Chrysler Company 20% interest. What do they pay for it? Nothing. I mean, what are they going to pay in the future for it? Nothing. We gave Chrysler Motor Company to Fiat Motor Company, an Italian company, and they're opening new jobs. They're open. And remember, we've given Fiat Chrysler a great deal of money, you know, to bail them out. And that, of course, they're opening new plants now in Italy, and they're opening new plants in Mexico, but they're not opening any plants in the United States. Once you understand, nothing as it appears to be, that everything makes sense.
Okay, Dr. Stan, I know that we've come to the point of about an hour, and with your permission, if we might be able to go just a little bit longer. I understand if you have to go, but we do have another question, and there was another area.
All right, one more question, but I do have to run after that, so what do you have?
Okay, it's Chris in Las Vegas asks, "Dr. Monteith, I believe what you say is true. If the goal of the elites is to depopulate the world, why don't they use one of the more deadly viruses like Ebola that would kill millions in a very short period of time? Instead, they choose to poison us slowly. Why?"
Well, I think that there will come a time when they will release the Ebola and other deadly diseases, but they're on a timetable, and the time has not yet come. Today, they're weakening the population, but the time is coming when they're going to kill, you know, most of the population with a nuclear war, certainly with famine. And of course, this is why they're destroying our food supply with GMOs. This is why in California today they've shut off the water to the majority of the Central Valley. What's the food basket of the state, of the nation? Most of the Central Valley of California is barren today. They shut off the water to the farmers to save the 3-inch smelt. They're letting the water simply run out to the ocean. They're destroying our agriculture. We're being set up for famine. We're being set up for wars. We're being set up for diseases. It's only a matter of time. And I would suggest that Chris begin making preparations because it's coming.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to have to run because I've got to get some lunch before I do my program, but I appreciate so much you having me on. I appreciate everything those of you at Republic Magazine are doing.
Okay, and you likewise. You want to give contact information just one more time real quick?
Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can go there and listen to our radio programs, watch our DVDs. But get started listening to Radio Liberty on the Internet, where you can hear us 9 hours a day at that address. And then, of course, if you'd like to get our books, I'd like to get the documentation, anything I've talked about, but specifically my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will really help you to understand. The telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. God bless you, Earl. Thanks so much.
Thank you as well. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And those listening have a couple of announcements. I want to let you know that immediately following this webinar, you can go access some incredible folks that are speaking, and they're part of the Tea Party Squared movement that's happening throughout Florida. They're going to different cities, and they're having seminars and speaking, but there's a live webcast of that at freedom.tv/webinar, and the recording of this and other webinars will be posted. You can find them at republicmagazine.com/webinar, and we really appreciate everyone being there today. Next week is a little bit different. We normally have these every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday, we'll have the internationally renowned Jordan Maxwell, who will have some very fascinating information to share with us, and that will be at the same time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, and then starting Wednesday, the 11th, and going all the way through the Sunday, the 22nd, every day there'll be a live webcast of the Continental Congress that's going on, the Second Continental Congress, to redress our grievances, and that's being spearheaded by Bob Schultz of the We the People Foundation. So that's going to be a very historic occurrence, and I'm so glad and proud that we're able to broadcast that so that people can access it. I thank everyone for being there today, and do everything you can to spread the word. We're certainly turning the corner and making a difference already, and I think we're just getting started. So let's take back our liberty. Thanks. Have a good day. See you on Tuesday. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.